On today's Part of My Take, we wrap up the NBA Finals. We also wrap up the Stanley Cup Finals with two Pittsburgh Penguins. Our recurring guests, who we called last year, Brian Dumoulin and Nick Bonino. We also have Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1 on to talk about LeBron and the NBA Finals.
That was fun.
And Guys on Chicks. Before we get to all of that, we have a quick word from our sponsor, MeUndies. Everyone knows that this podcast is exclusively MeUndies, guys. We actually get two new pairs every single month.
I'm rocking my new pair right now. It's got Army Guys on it.
Same with me. We love MeUndies, and we love it because it is the softest, most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear. They have a special fabric called Modal that, I'm telling you, you take care of yourself when you wear MeUndies. You feel like it's every day is a vacation when you put on those MeUndies.
It feels like a thousand tiny angels massaging your butt.
Yeah, so try MeUndies today to get the Celebrate pattern before they're all gone. MeUndies.com/take, and you'll save 20% off your first pair. You have to feel for yourself to see why MeUndies has sold over 5 million pairs to date. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. Get 20% off your first pair, though, right now, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/take right now. That's MeUndies.com/take. MeUndies.com/take. Do it right now. Be like your favorite podcasters and wear comfortable MeUndies every single day. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, June 14th, and Kevin Durant has finally climbed that mountain. Good for him.
The torch has been passed to Kevin Durant.
Yes.
But it might get passed back depending on where Kevin goes this offseason, so stay tuned.
We have joked about the torch many, many times. I just want it on the record that I do still think LeBron is the best player in the NBA. But what Kevin Durant did in the finals was fantastic, and you can't really say any bad words about him other than the fact that he joined the Warriors, because every fourth quarter it felt like whatever Kevin Durant wanted, he could get. And he did it every single night, and he did it in the fourth quarter of Game 5, and that's a wrap.
He was imposing his will. And it helps when you're going up against a team with one superstar that has absolutely no help. Of course, I'm talking about J.R. Smith, who's probably he's going to be so mad he's not going to put a shirt on for probably 2 weeks.
We're not going to get to Mount Rushmore yet. Mount Rushmore is starting on Friday. We have a special Mount Rushmore debut episode. But just a quick, if I were to do a Mount Rushmore of players that you can't take your eyes off when they're in the zone, J.R. Smith's up there.
You know what they should have done? If any game had gone into overtime, they should have just taken players off the court and had it be JaVale versus J.R. Smith one-on-one. And the person that does the most hilarious thing, that team wins the game.
Yes. So LeBron is now, what is he, 3-5 in the NBA Finals?
He's -2. So he owes Adam Silver 2 rings. They should send some fellas up to his door this offseason to collect on that debt.
This is definitely, I would say, the hottest take finals we've ever had, simply because you basically have to put yourself, you have to stamp your flag in the ground and be like, hey, I'm either a LeBron is the best or the Warriors are the best. Turns out they're both kind of true. I know people will be like, hey, you pick a side, but I use my eyes and my brain, and both were kind of true for this series.
They're both really good, but I'll say this for Kevin Durant. All the money in the world, all the championships in the world, they can't buy you back your man card. So he was in the locker room afterwards celebrating, took a sip of beer, and just spit it out all over himself.
There goes my cool throne.
Yeah.
Or sorry, my hot seat.
Oh, was Kevin Durant's manhood?
Man card. Kevin Durant's man card was on the hot seat because he, yeah, like you said, took a sip of beer and spit it right out. And pretty embarrassing moment for Kevin Durant.
So it was Steph Curry against LeBron James, if you take Kevin out of it. And the biggest difference between those two guys, one guy stayed in school and the other skipped college.
True.
So I'd like to get that conversation going. Like maybe LeBron could have learned something from Coach K.
The other Game 5 story that is probably going to get lost in everything, and I would like to maybe do like a mini 30 for 30 on it, is the Tristan Thompson, David West kiss.
Okay.
The kiss heard around the world.
Let's do a 30 for 30.
Yeah.
What if I told you that two power forwards
that David
got
West,
so mad at each other, they made out?
That David West is still surly because he turned down all that money in Indiana and his wife is pissed at him. And he started kissing dudes.
Why didn't Jeff Van Gundy like stand up for Khloe Kardashian and be like, "Hey, you can't be cheating on her out on the court like that"?
That was a great moment though, when they when two alphas are just going chest to chest.
Sometimes
and then,
boom, guys,
whoops, we kiss.
Sometimes guys kiss. That's what when you get two, like you said, two alphas, two like real top of the walk guys going at each other. If you get too angry and you know that you're not allowed to fight, if you know that you're going to get kicked out and cost your team a championship, you have no other option but to just kiss the guy. That boxers do it sometimes.
I was, were you guys stuck at, well, I know Hank's answered this. Were you stuck at all at the end being like, I kind of want the Cavs to win just so we can get an extra game?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Oh, actually, no. I should, I'm going to pat myself on the back real quick. So the predictions before this series were Warriors in four by Hank, Cavs in seven by PFT.
Mm-hmm. I almost had
Warriors
it,
in five. Ding, ding, ding.
See,
gentlemen, sweep.
You want to say sorry?
Yeah. See, no,
say sorry.
No, because
it's Hank's birthday. Happy birthday,
happy
Hank.
Happy birthday, Hank.
Thanks.
No, because if the Cavs, they should have won game two.
Oh,
and then they should have won last
game three,
night.
Game three.
Yeah, they should have won game three. Then they should have won the game last night, too, but the NBA is rigged. That's the new. That new hot seat is people saying the NBA is rigged about anything.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens in a game that you don't like, it's rigged.
It's any kind of foul.
Yeah,
Tim Donaghy. People forget.
So rigged.
Do you like how Tim Donaghy is like making the rounds again in media, which is the fucking worst? It's like it just adds fuel to the fire, basically.
Fun fact.
The Cavs had, you know, seven fouls called on them in the first quarter. Let's get Tim Donaghy on the show.
Fun fact, Tim Donaghy wanted to come on Part of My Take last year, and then I think he like wanted money
or something
to appear. So, yeah,
it was
shocker,
very weird.
Tim Donaghy is a big sketchball. So if they had won game three, which they should have, and then they should have won last night, and then if they had even like Air Bud... If Air Bud with advanced age Air Bud with hip dysplasia was playing instead of Deron Williams, I think
still
they
would have
been
right.
It would have been better.
He still wouldn't have been right. So the other story, I guess, is, I mean, we have to now say, are the Warriors one of the best teams in NBA history?
Are they GOAT?
Are they the GOAT?
No, they're not.
I think 3 year stretch, they're up there. Only winning two out of three probably hurts them, but in terms of what they've done in the regular season and then in the playoffs, 16-1.
You know what? I'm just glad that we're not going to have to talk about basketball for another five months.
I'm excited to. I have LeBron fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it. Last night when he was, or 2 nights ago in the press conference when he said he hadn't played on a super team, I had like fatigue because I was like, I can't muster up the energy to get angry about a comment that he made here.
I picture LeBron as one of the guys in that book 1984 that just burns pieces of old news and then tells people opposite things happen.
Yes.
He's like, I can't believe that Kevin Durant would shame the game of basketball by going to a team to chase a ring. Meanwhile, he's clipping out film from The Decision and throwing it into an incinerator.
Yes, so that's LeBron. I'm going to go Zero Dark 30 for a minute. Zero Dark 30, 32. Because that's my age, on LeBron stuff for a
Zero
while.
Dark 30 for 30.
Yeah. And he's not a free agent this year, so we're not going to update it.
But KD, he might be.
Is KD going to take less money?
Yes.
Huh. All right, before we get to Hot Seat, Cool Throne, wanted to quickly shout out our friends at DraftKings. DraftKings has a huge golf tournament coming up this Thursday. You have to sign up before... They tee off on Thursday morning. When you play 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings, you'll be locked in on every drive, every approach, and every putt. Plus, fantasy golf at DraftKings is easy to play. Just pick six golfers before the tournament starts this Thursday morning. Then follow your golfers live and rack up points for eagles, birdies, and more. If you're a new player, DraftKings also offers different contests against players of the same skill level. Or start a rivalry, invite your friends to play in your very own private contest. Remember, the tournament starts this Thursday morning, so hurry to DraftKings.com right now to choose your golfers, and be sure to use the promo code BIGCAT to enter the free $100,000 fantasy golf contest. That's promo code BIGCAT. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, hot seat, cool throne. Who wants to start?
Hank, why don't you go
Hank,
for it?
It's your birthday. Birthday. It's your birthday, Hank. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hank.
Feels, thanks, guys.
Congrats. Give us a little word of wisdom from someone who just turned 24.
I stopped caring about my birthday. I don't really care.
Okay. That's so old of you.
Like, yeah, you're like 6 years ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Any advice for as a 24-year-old?
Enjoy your last year where you're not allowed to rent a house.
Ooh. Or a car.
So, yeah, you get you to just skate by on year. That. Just make all your buddies rent all your cars for you.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I'd say 24 is one of those lost years. I don't really remember being 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really just start, you wake up when you're like 27, and then that, then the scaries start to creep in your brain. So.
Okay. You could still conceivably just move to Europe right now.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't really be leaving that much behind.
Yes.
Not that we want you to.
I'd be down. All right. My hot seat is all the guys and gals who put off going to the gym all year, and now they have to go to the beach and or pool.
Ooh. Unlike you, Hank?
No, that's coming from a personal place. It's hot. I want to take my shirt off. I'm a little too skinny, gangly. It's kind of awkward.
You know what, though? It's easier to put on that weight than it is to lose it. So this is a perfect
intro right here. We're going to pause Hot Seat Cool Throne for a second. We have an intern. We actually have two interns. Intern Liam is behind the scenes doing a bunch of the graphics. He's been great. Intern Billy Football, our newest intern who just graduated high school on Sunday, is going to whip us into shape. Pardon my takes, getting into shape.
Yep.
Billy, did you want to say something to the mic, to the people?
What's up, guys?
All right, that's good.
There you go. That's
all right,
not,
that's Billy Football. We're actually going to hear from him later at Guys on Chicks, but the plan is he's putting together a workout regimen, a food plan. He's basically just going to walk up to us and be like, eat this, do this, and we're going to see if we get ketosis.
Yeah, he's going to give us ketosis. Yeah. Your body, people forget your body has these little ketones just swimming around in it all the time. So when you go into ketosis, they work a lot harder.
It's actually the perfect intern diet for this podcast because I realized last night that Billy Football, he's 18, so that means whatever the last thing he heard, that's the smartest thing he's heard in the world. So we are getting a diet tip from a guy who, like, it could have been just a random person on the street being like, hey, ketones give you diarrhea. Diarrhea makes you skinny. And then now Billy Football's giving that to us.
And he's still at that young age where he is naive enough to believe everything that he's heard, but he hasn't heard that much yet.
Right.
So he's 100% confident in everything that he knows. I really miss that age.
Before. Yes.
Here, Billy, little tip, friendly tip from me to you. Don't learn too much.
Yeah.
Because if you learn too much stuff, it just confuses you because so much of it contradicts the other stuff you've heard, and then you just drive yourself insane.
You become like a deep human being.
Yeah, so just stop. Whenever someone tries to teach you anything, unless it's me or Big Cat, just tell them, no thanks, buddy. I got everything I need.
And the name Billy Football is not just random. Billy Football is actually playing college football next year for Division III school, but we've already made it clear that we're going to be transferring to a Division I school after this next year.
Aren't
and then
Billy?
The road to the NFL. So PFT and I have basically adopted him. Mm-hmm. We're going to once you get to the NFL, they're going to write like a blindside new blindside story on
I'm
us.
I'm Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I'll be the Southern dude.
Coach O was in that movie.
Tim McGraw was in it.
Tim McGraw. Kind of
I'll
famous
be Tim
too.
McGraw. So we're going to make a man out of you, Billy Football.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become like pretty big time.
I want to make you guys skinny.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. There was Billy Football again. All right. Sorry. Cool throne.
My cool throne is fades.
Like haircuts?
Haircuts.
Ooh.
Big summer haircut.
What's a fade?
It's like when you go like a one on the side and like four on top.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that, but that sounds like maybe that's what will happen when Danny Woodhead cuts my hair after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Get a nice fade.
Fades. Okay. PFT, what do you got?
My hot seat is your friend, Mike Glennon.
Ooh.
So, don't know if you saw this.
Do tell.
John Fox, in an interview today, just said he wants to start getting Mitch Trubisky as much experience as possible, as early as possible, because now it gets better. Because like
I'll give you the real reason, but you give me the fake reason.
But a month ago, he said that he was going to sit Trubisky for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now he needs experience because it worked really well when he got Tebow. All that experience right away.
Or when he got Jimmy Clausen all that experience.
Mm-hmm. No, he literally said it worked out well with Tebow,
okay.
So that's why I want to do it with Mitch.
This is John Fox just now waking up a month later and being like, fuck, they really fucked me by drafting a rookie quarterback. I better play him and hope he's good Otherwise, I lose my job.
I think John Fox has just been sleepwalking for the last 4 years.
He just realized this.
Yeah, so this the last thing that he saw was Tim Tebow winning a game.
Right.
And so he's just been in a coma, but he's such a football guy that he just goes through the motions like you do when you're sleepwalking. You do the most natural things. He's just ended up with another coaching gig, and now he's like, it worked out really well with Tebow. Let's get Mitch on the same pattern.
Really well with Tebow. All right, your cool throw?
My cool throw is the 1990s Bulls team.
Ooh.
And it's not for the reason you would think.
Okay.
It's because Dennis Rodman has proven that he is the greatest American diplomat in history.
Okay.
He just got back from North Korea.
Oh, no, he just went to North Korea.
Or he's in North Korea.
He's going to North Korea.
But he freed that hostage that was over there. He freed a UVA student that I guess he was in prison for, like, knocking a picture off a wall.
Okay.
Or something like that. And Dennis Rodman went over there. And
what's he doing in North Korea?
He's appointed himself
he's
senior
like
diplomat.
He's friends with
Kim
Jong-un.
What was the UVA kid doing?
Oh, he's just being a UVA overachiever.
What does the 93 Bulls have to do with this?
The 90s Bulls.
Oh, yeah. The second dynasty
yes,
Bulls.
Yes. Got it. Yeah. So it also backs the Bulls up in the argument of best team ever against the Warriors. Draymond Green, he would never go. Who has Draymond Green freed?
Mm-hmm.
No one.
Probably blood from someone's penis when he punches it so hard.
That's a good point. Yeah, but Draymond Green would kick Bo Bergdahl in the dick if he went over to negotiate with the Taliban.
It's like, you know, the old leeches that would like cure cancer. You just put a leech on someone. Yes. Draymond Green is like the smartest doctor 200 years ago.
Yes.
Like, oh, your dick hurts? Let me just punch it really fast.
Let me just kick the shit out of it. Yeah. So Dennis Rodman is like Jason Bourne, basically.
Yes.
Except he doesn't. Well, he does have amnesia. It's just from taking like GHB instead of the CIA just giving it to you.
I can't imagine a Kim Jong Un, Dennis Rodman like hangout sesh.
Must be lit.
Yeah,
we got breaking moves. From,
okay, breaking
Will,
moves
from Bill
from Billy Philly football. Breaking moves, give it to us.
The Dennis Rodman North Korea trip is sponsored by Potcoin.
Potcoin, I saw
Potcoin?
That.
Yeah, it's a
what is Potcoin?
It's Bitcoin, but exclusively for buying drugs,
ooh,
as opposed to
like the Silk Road,
as opposed to like just normal Bitcoin, which is definitely never used for buying drugs in the dark web. Onion.
Hey, Billy, no drugs for you. We're gonna make you an NFL quarterback, so don't even fucking think about it.
Also, Billy,
give us all your Potcoin. Give it. Hand it over.
That's three times that you've spoken today. So that's I think we're good for.
Yeah,
today.
We're gonna take a timeout. All right, my hot seat is I was going to do Kevin Durant's man card for spitting out that beer. I'm now going to transfer to Perfect Booties on Instagram because LeBron James is now back on Instagram and Twitter if Zero Dark 3023 is over, and that means no Perfect Booties are safe because he likes his Perfect Booties, likes to like them.
So he's going to be lighting those
hit
on
that,
fire.
Hit that like button.
Smashing the like button. Off.
Sliding those DMs.
You know how Britney Spears' Instagram, it was revealed that like her comment section was a meeting place for Russian trolls to
that's
pass information
I did not
back?
Know that, but that is exactly what I expect Britney Spears to
be. Do you think that's like where the Banana Boat crew exchanges information for their offseason in the Big Booty area?
When they're going to the Lakers?
Yeah.
They figure it out there?
Keep an eye on that.
Ooh, that's... Can you have a recruiting violation in the comments section of an Instagram post? That's technically not texting.
No, it's not meeting up with somebody.
It's just tagging.
So between the whole Bitcoin paying recruits and setting up Instagram pages just of asses that recruiters can talk to like high school football players, I think we've solved the problem in the whole NCAA high school
this
thing.
Coach K just going on. Coach K will definitely be the first one to do it. He'll go on Instagram and he'll just be like, I wanted to post on this picture and say that it's a great picture, kind of like you, the player, but I'm not saying that directly to you. It's just a comment on the picture.
Commenting on big booty problems.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody from the Ball family happens to read this, I might have a scholarship.
Yeah,
LaMelo
Ball. I think your 3-point shot is just as hot as this big booty. We just hacked recruiting. And then my cool throne is Rat Tails. So JaVale McGee, first ever NBA player to win a championship with a rat tail.
Yeah.
So Rat Tails are back. I'm almost positive that Isaiah Thomas had a rat tail
on
the Pistons.
Did you have a rat tail when you were a kid?
I did not have a rat tail.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you really looked like a guy that could have a rat tail.
I wish I had
a rat tail.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
There was a time, many people who have been around for a while know that like 3 or 4 years ago, I attempted a rat tail. Didn't work out. I don't have rat tail hair.
Not to brag, I could have a pretty sick rat tail right now if I wanted
one. If you were a man.
Well, the only guys that have rat tails, they're usually named after initials. Mm-hmm. It's usually like DJ. DJ's a rat tail guy.
You should get a rat tail underneath your real hair and just put a couple beads in it.
Well, technically,
a hidden rat tail.
I technically do have a rat tail. I've just got a lot of them
right.
all together.
Tons of rat tails.
Yes.
It's all a right. nest. Let's, before we get to our interviews, we have one other sponsor.
We do. These interviews are brought to you by The Black Tux. There's only so many opportunities in life to wear a tux, so when your big day or special event rolls around this spring or summer, look just as great as you feel with suits from theblacktux.com. With modern rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your doorstep, The Black Tux gives you a new way to rent. Plus, with their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. And the best part is, it's completely done online. Theblacktux.com lets you create your look or choose from tons of stylist-selected outfits. Suits like these usually retail between, like, I don't know, around like $1,200, but at The Black Tux, they start at just $95. After ordering, your suit will arrive 14 days before your event. If anything is less than perfect, The Black Tux will send you a free replacement right away. When your event's over, just drop your rental back in the mail. Shipping's free both ways. Stand out at your event for the right reasons with The Black Tux. To get $20 off your purchase, we're going to hook you up. Visit theblacktux.com/PMT. It's wedding season coming up. I'm going to give you $20 off. Go to theblacktux.com/PMT for $20 off your purchase.
All right, let's do our interviews. First up, we're going to do Nick Wright. It was not really an interview. It was a debate.
It's
so
basically
something
Big
a little
Cat,
different.
Big Cat and Nick Wright yelling at each other about LeBron and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it was good. I actually liked it. It was therapeutic. I respect the hell out of Nick Wright for coming on the show. I actually have more respect for him now because I thought he was more genuine than I gave him credit for. We disagree on basically everything ever. But shout out to Nick Wright because I it was fun to do, and I walked away being like, okay, I don't hate that guy. And then we have a little more lighthearted with Stanley Cup champions Nick Bonino and Brian Dumoulin, and that will come right after. We now welcome on Nick Wright. He is going to be starting a show. It's called First Things First with Chris Carter. And Nick Wright starts September 5th on FS1 from 6 to 9 a.m. Oof, that's early. That's real early.
You guys are going up against Mike and Mike, which, as our listeners know, I watch that show almost every day. Are you guys going to be talking about eating sandwiches with knives and forks, and then the other guy's going to be eating on the air all the time, or is that going to be like a totally different show?
I don't think we're going to encroach on their corner in that regard, but I don't even know, to be honest, I don't think we're going to be going, and by the way, thanks for having me on, big fan of the podcast. I once upon a time did a podcast with Mike Lombardi where we were jostling for like 2 weeks, I have no idea how, but jostling with you guys for tops on the iTunes podcast charts, and then you guys eviscerated us as you guys do everyone. But Mike and Mike, I don't know if I would call that really who we're going to be going up against, because as of January, that's not going to be on ESPN or ESPN2. Greeny's going to have his new show on ESPN, and then SportsCenter's going to be on ESPN2. But whether we were going up against them or not, I would leave the sandwich and maybe eating discussion to people that have a better expertise on it than I do.
All right, let's start with what everyone
Why
is...
Why you hate me on Twitter?
No,
yes,
I don't hate you.
Let me frame this, because this is okay. A good point that Nick brings up. Big Cat and Hank are certified LeBron haters.
No, that's not true. See, we're already off. We're already off here. Hank is. I am not. I don't hate you on Twitter. I think you have done the MJ versus LeBron ad nauseum, and I think you know exactly what you're doing.
What am I doing other than being right and earlier on it than anybody and more right? Just like I was wrong on the Warriors than anyone.
But so, okay, absolutely... so, all right, mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Warriors real quick, because that's a good point. This kind of proves my point. You were very, very wrong about the Warriors. You went on every show and said that the Warriors were going to beat the Cavs in five.
No, the other way around.
The Cavs were going to beat the Warriors in five. You said that the bench wasn't going to be good enough. You said adding Kevin Durant made them did you say that they were a worse team with Kevin Durant?
I said that they should have stuck with the team they had last year.
Okay, instead of adding a top three player in the NBA.
There's just one ball, Big Cat.
Right. So
correct. Well, no, hold on. But can I respond to that, or do you want to keep going?
No. Well, I can keep going if we want to. But go ahead.
No. So the point that, and again, I now the facts are in. The good thing about sports is on most of these arguments, not all of them, but most of them, we get to actually see the games played and see who was right and who was wrong. The concern I had with the Warriors was a very simple one, which is it was kind of threefold. One, had Kyrie missed at the end of Game 7 last year and Steph hadn't made it, they would have just completed the greatest two-year stretch in the history of basketball. They would have a two-time unanimous MVP. He might have won the damn finals MVP that year. And I think most people would have said, don't change anything. Are you nuts? You were up 3-1 in this series. You said the greatest two-year stretch ever. Don't change anything. Those two shots went the other way, and they drastically overhauled their roster. They kept their top three players, but other than that, they made major moves. They got rid of rim protection, which has been the one way to beat LeBron James in the finals, and they did it for a guy that I thought was redundant. And you mentioned the fact that the point that everyone made, which is you're adding a top three player. They absolutely did. But what I feared, and what I do think was one minor part I got right, is they were adding the second-best player in the world, but by doing that, they were subtracting the second-best player, Steph Curry, and making him closer to 8th, 9th, or 10th. And I think that was proven out. Now,
wait, he had better numbers in this finals than he did in the last two.
Correct. In these specific finals, he did.
Steph Curry had better numbers. So to say that we've subtracted from Steph Curry,
you think Steph was as good this year as last year?
No, I mean I think Steph reached an apex that he reached like a 12 to 18 month apex that I don't think he'll ever be able to duplicate with Kevin Durant or not.
My question is, so that last part's important. You think Steph would have been the same this year whether they had Durant or not?
Yeah, I mean he might have scored some more points.
And I think, I can concede the Warriors' point. I don't think it was an absurd one. I don't think it was laughable. I was very wrong, but I think the idea that a team that had won 73 games, that was up 3-1 in the finals against a team with, in my estimation, the greatest player ever, that team would change everything. And also keep this in mind. I didn't know at the time, and we still don't know yet, but Durant seems to be saying he's going to take less than the max. I also thought, as I think many people thought, that, okay, go ahead and add Durant, but you don't have his bird rights, so to keep him this offseason, you will lose Iguodala and Livingston and part of the bench that makes you great. Now, Durant might end up taking less, which makes the whole point moot. But I think there were reasons that I had that opinion, and throughout the regular season, it was looking correct. Now, in the playoffs, it looks idiotic, and I got to own that. I tweeted today, those old takes exposed guys did a compilation of all the times I was saying the Warriors would have been better off without Durant, and when Durant just finished one of the best NBA finals anyone's ever had, and they won in five games, they were 16-1, it looks absurd. But, like, I'm not running from that, but I also didn't make – it wasn't a baseless opinion. It wasn't something I just picked out of thin air. There's a reason I thought it. There's a reason I believed it.
Now, if you were to take Kevin Durant and put him on the Cavaliers, let's say, hypothetically, do you think he makes LeBron worse or does LeBron make him worse?
No, I think that Durant and Curry are special players because their skill set's so similar. Now, Durant's obviously a much better defensive player. I think LeBron, the guy that I think that if you put him on the Cavs would be much, much worse than he is on the Warriors is Draymond. Because Draymond is like a poor man's LeBron, a guy that can guard all five spots, a guy that can bring the ball up the court. So I think Durant would be an amazing compliment for LeBron James. But guys.
Steph Curry plays point guard and Kevin Durant plays, you know, forward. So to say that they like, you know, have the same skill set and do the same things, I don't think that's really real. My biggest problem with the Warriors prediction from you is that you, even during the series, you were tweeting about how you bought a flight to Cleveland for Game 6. You kept on tweeting that the Cavs were still going to win this series. Like, it was so apparent to anyone who was watching, as apparent as you claim that LeBron is the greatest player of all time, that the Warriors were by far the best team in the NBA in that series, and instead of talking about the Warriors possibly being, you know, the best three-year stretch of any team ever in NBA history, we're sitting here talking about MJ and LeBron because that's what you've been talking about for the last five months.
I appreciate the fact that you might be giving me more credit to set up.
I know this trap. This is what you guys do.
Are you going to let me respond or no?
No, but you start the conversation and then you keep going with the conversation. It's every day you talk about the conversation. Every day you tweet about MJ LeBron. And then when someone says, hey, stop tweeting about MJ, be like, well, we're just responding to what the world wants to talk about.
That's not what I was going to say there at all. That wasn't what I was going to say there. There was no trap there. What I was attempting to say there is, while it sounds like you are giving me credit for setting some type of conversational tone throughout the sports fandom that I don't think I did, what is true is that I gave Durant credit throughout this series. I also have not been shy for the last 8 months about the fact that the Warriors irk me. I don't like them. I don't like the style of play. I don't like how...
What about them? Owner, why?
From the owner on down, I don't like how they carry themselves. And
What specifically? Like, what do you not like about the Warriors? What do you not like about how they play?
I don't like that in the midst of a 73-win season, you're texting your biggest rival to try to get him on the team. I don't like that Steph Curry...
That's savvy.
Actually,
what about LeBron when he was texting with D. Wade and Bosh in before he was a Miami Heat player? Like, that happened. That exact same thing happened.
Well, not the exact same thing. Because it wasn't a 73-win defending champion. But hold on. You've now asked me like 6 questions in a row. I can answer all of them, but you're going to have to let me. You asked me what I don't like about them specifically. I would like to answer that question, and then you can tell me the other ones you want to ask. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't like I mentioned the texting during the 73-win defending champion season. I don't like the fact that they are the only team I've seen in sports. I actually like the arrogant athlete. But the arrogant athlete tends to get killed for that. The Warriors, starting early last season, not this past one, but the one before, they were the most in-game arrogant I've ever seen, and they were applauded for it. It struck me as hypocritical. I don't like the fact that Draymond Green is one of the, at least this year he got better, but last year was one of the more obviously dirty players in recent memory, and wouldn't own it. Like, at least Rodman owned it. I also didn't like the fact that Joe Lacob says we're light years ahead when so much of their success has been predicated on good fortune and good luck, which, by the way, as is the case with most teams that have great runs, but they're not out there saying light years ahead. And this is the one that people can disagree with. Like, this last one is probably my biggest reason I don't like the Warriors. That's most personal. It is simply not what I watch basketball for. I like football because of the violence, right? I'm not a huge baseball fan, but the part of baseball I do like is the tension in the postseason of the one-on-one battle between pitcher and batter. Basketball, I want to watch bigger, stronger, faster, flying. Guys that seem like superheroes. That's what I want to watch. And when the Warriors' success up to this season was predicated on two guys who have mastered the one skill in basketball that to me is least pleasing, just from a visual perspective,
shooting
long-range threes? Shooting.
What?
Yeah, I'm not saying that the way I consume the sport is the way everyone has to. I'm just telling you personally, I like Sean Kemp hell of a lot more than I liked Ray Allen.
I mean, this the LeBron stuff now makes more sense. You literally like the bigger, stronger guys who bullies his way to the hoop over and over and over, instead of a guy who can shoot these unbelievable three-pointers.
Sure, right. And by the way, I do not claim to be correct on that. Like, that, there is no correct on that. It's just a matter of preference. Like, whether it's, like, the type of women you like or the type of food you like, the type of basketball I enjoy watching. So for all those reasons, to answer your question, those are the reasons I didn't like the Warriors. Now, to answer your other question you asked about why I wouldn't back down, why when the Warriors were down, when the Warriors were up 2-0, I wouldn't back down when it was apparent to everyone the Warriors were going to win the series? Well, I don't know. I mean, I watched the Cavs be up 2 with the ball in the critical game of the series, Game 3, with the single best corner three-point shooter in the world.
Okay, but that's – all right, so this is a trick that you've been playing on everyone. Because,
I don't think I'm playing any
tricks,
man.
I do think you're playing a trick, because this is – the criticism for LeBron in Game 3 was never –
that he made the right play.
Ever the Kyle Korver play. I did not hear one person tell me that he made the wrong play in the Kyle Korver play. So you basically said you created a straw man. Yeah, you created a straw man. Let me finish. No, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you created this straw man and then conveniently left out the fact that everyone in the United States of America, in the world, knew that Kevin Durant was shooting that transition three, except LeBron, who didn't guard the transition three. And then in the final possession when Kyrie has the ball and is crossing up a million times, LeBron is waving him on and basically saying, you take it, and not trying to get involved at all. So the Kyle Korver three, we totally agree. That was the correct pass. You need role players to win championships. Kyle Korver makes that three. We're not even having this conversation because the series is still going on. But LeBron's other pieces in that game, in that closing of that game, is what I think is fair to criticize.
Fair enough. But you're saying I'm creating a straw man.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to tell you the reality. I was on television the day after that game. The first question I was asked, and I was only on for 13 minutes, it was me and Chris Carter on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. The entire segment was predicated on a question about the Korver 3.
Yeah, so no shit, that's what you guys do. You create straw man arguments back and forth. Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That conversation didn't even happen, because no one was having that conversation except you guys.
Okay, well, I don't know who the you guys is, because that conversation was had on The Jump, which is on ESPN. That conversation was had on our network, on The Herd, on Undisputed, on Speak for Yourself. That conversation was had on Bomani and Levitard's show. It was, so maybe you weren't having it, but it doesn't mean no one was having it. And listen, if the gist of this is twofold. One, I think LeBron's the greatest player ever. You disagree with that, and we can have that discussion as well if you'd like. But if the bigger gist of it is that while I dig what you guys do at Barstool, you think what I do is crappy, like, so be it. Like, I'm not certain why you wanted to have me on to talk about it, but, like, if your general opinion is you don't like the style of television or show that I appear on, I don't even have my own show yet, so you can judge that one on your own once it starts in September, that's fine. But if you want me to defend the genre,
no,
I'm not sure.
I actually think you do a good job, and I actually think you speak intelligently about almost every topic. I think the MJ LeBron thing got very tiresome, and you kind of stood there and kept doing it for the last 5 months. And I actually we talked about this before or I might have even been on the show. I listened to you and Mike Lombardi every week, and I thought that was a great podcast. And I thought you would throw out really good theories that were, you know, thinking about things in different ways. I just thought that the way that the finals became MJ versus LeBron, and not the Warriors are possibly and probably the greatest NBA team of all time, was a little disingenuous.
I just got back in the room. Did I miss anything?
Let's move on to something a little lighter, because you're a LeBron guy.
I just stood back. I was letting the two bull elephants go after real quick. I have a quick thought experiment real quick here to jump in on. If you replace Deron Williams with Dele this postseason, do the Cavs win? Because I actually think that they might.
Oh, I don't know if they win. I think in this, given the way Deron Williams played this postseason, they're certainly better. Like, Deron Williams was awful right when his first month in Cleveland. And then he had a stretch of 3 weeks where it was like, oh, this is the guy they thought they were acquiring. And then he went back to being awful. You know what I mean?
So Dele was benched, though, last year in the finals. He didn't play in the finals. He couldn't play in that finals.
He played in the first finals.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think that changes anything.
Deron Williams.
Dele played out of necessity in the first finals.
Right.
They had nobody.
And he's the classic guy where you could probably get a good half out of him just by him, you know, dogging people. And then once they realize, hey, it's Matthew Dellavedova, we can probably blow by this guy, it changes.
And he literally, in the 2015 finals, after game three, had to go to the hospitals for IVs. Mm-hmm. Hospital for IVs. Like, he reminded me of when I poorly ran track in high school. I ran the 800, and I would throw up after every single race, because I was just trying to will myself to a place I wasn't. Like, Dele was just all effort to the point to where his body was shutting down on
him. All right, last question. Was I mean to you? Because PFT has been a little soft because he's friends with you, so he's not being a big J journalist. He begged me before to not be mean to you. I don't think I was mean to you.
No, I think that, listen, I think that if you, the only way that this feels real, and it was real, is if there is at times when people are listening to it, it's like, shit, this is kind of uncomfortable. But listen, you and I, you were, what I respect and appreciate is you didn't hide from the fact that there are things that about the way I do my work that ain't your style, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be, but, and I, at one point during this, You know, I said, hey, listen, if you just don't like what I do, you don't like what I do. And we had a moment there, and we're good. No, I don't think you were mean. I'm familiar enough with your work to know you weren't going to be fake, and you weren't fake. And I don't, from my perspective, I dig what y'all do more having done this than I did before.
I agree, because I didn't get around to
all the really hilarious questions that I had written down before, because Big Cat just kept getting triggered. We'll get to those next time.
Who's triggered now? Because PFT, I think, is a little upset that I revealed that he asked me not to be mean to you. But I agree. You were real, and I went in being like you're basically, you know, playing a character. So I respect you more now, even though I think you're wildly wrong about everything. What's up, guys? Let's talk about the CreditWise app with a message brought to you by Capital One. As you all know, I'm a big stats guy, so I think numbers are great, but on their own, they don't tell you the whole story. It's like looking at the final score of a game without checking any of the stats or knowing any of the context. Credit isn't any different. The first step to understanding your credit is knowing what factors contribute to your credit profile. In fact, there's a lot more to credit management than just knowing your score. And since there's no one single score that lenders use, knowing these factors are key. So here's a hot tip for our award-winning listeners out there. Don't be a weenie. Do what I did. Go and check out the app. CreditWise is different from other credit apps. It gives you access to your information from your TransUnion credit reports to understand your behaviors and helps you spot signs of error or identity theft. Plus, you can check it as often as you want for free without negatively impacting your credit. So go online, mash that download button right now, and get the CreditWise app today. And go tell a friend. Numbers are great with context. Get that CreditWise app right now from Capital One.
And now for something completely different.
All right, we now welcome on, as is tradition. I'm getting sick of this tradition. I know you guys aren't. It's Nick Bonino. It's Brian Dumoulin. They've just won another Stanley Cup, two in a row. Dumo and Bones. What's up, boys?
Nothing. How are you guys doing?
First question, fuck you guys. I'm sick of you guys.
Okay, no, real first question.
Figured we'd get that.
Do you guys think that it still might be the Caps' year?
You never know. Dumo, what do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, it's funny that we played them again. I didn't even know PFT was a big Cat. I kind of want to know how that came about and if he's a real true fan or not, or just jumped on the bandwagon, hope they won.
Oh, no, I'm a true fan.
That's the worst bandwagon to jump on.
Why would I ever be a bandwagon fan of the Capitals? Why would I put myself through years of Peter Bondra, Olaf Kolzig, the whole gang? Like, I hate myself. It's my least favorite part of myself. Besides just my general appearance.
Was there any part of you, Dumo, you can answer this first, was there any part of you when you guys beat the Capitals and crushed their hearts and ripped it out of their chest and stomped on it right in front of Washington, and PFT actually was there with Nate, was there any small part of you that thought, like, ooh, I wonder, PFT's watching us right now, and he's probably rock bottom?
Yeah, 100%. When I saw that you guys were going there, and especially Nate, I mean, I know you guys always like to get him going and get him fired up. So, I mean, I think, honestly, when I was playing, it was kind of like a little added motivation just to try to crush Nate's heart.
Mm. Great. Man. How's the leg doing?
Nick, we got to talk about the leg and how you are a true you were basically took the mantle. We're a big torch passing podcast. You took the mantle for toughest hockey guy, the guy that everyone retweets the story about how Nick Bonino broke his leg and played two extra periods. So how is the leg?
It's good. I just got back today. We did some x-rays. We're hoping not to get surgery, but yeah, it's good. It was a pretty good break right through, but fuck, you just shoot it up and the adrenaline's going. It was, I think pretty much anyone would have done that.
Is it the tibia or the fibula?
Yeah, the tibia, right where it joint is, so it broke all the way through all the cartilage. Not a good spot. A lot of weight bearing down there.
So I always wondered this: when you, like, have you during the celebration at any point been like, "Fuck, this sucks that my leg is broken and I have to like hobble around here"?
100%. I got a shot in my ass of painkiller for the celebration on the ice. I never had to do that. And then you can ask Dumo. I wear this like pirate leg, peg leg thing. And I had it last night at Sid's, and it gives me use of my hands, but I look like a pretty big loser.
Yeah, I actually think that I bought one of those things for one day just to try to take my dog on a walk, and he just pulled me over.
Oh, after you broke your foot, or are you talking about after I got bit by a dog?
No, after I broke my foot.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. What you guys, obviously Sidney Crosby now is probably one of the most accomplished guys in hockey. Have you weighed in on the GOAT discussion that is raging through Twitter, Wayne Gretzky versus Sidney Crosby?
Dumo, you weigh in on that one.
Yeah, I saw that commercial you guys made. That was pretty funny. But I mean, it's tough to compare them both, especially now. I mean, Sid's not done yet. Obviously, when he's done, you can kind of look at both of them. But I mean, Wayne Gretzky was just so good when he was playing, and you see all the records that he has. That it's just it's not like that. Someone's like close to beating him and stuff. He's just so far above everyone else that it's crazy to think about. And I mean, it's tough to compare him. Obviously, Wayne is the best player ever. But, I mean, obviously, Sid, in my eyes, just because I've seen him play and I see him every day, I think, honestly, he's the best player that I've ever seen and been able to play with. So it's unbelievable to be able to play with him.
Nick, question for you. What type of leader is Sidney Crosby? Is he a rah-rah-rah guy, or does he not do a lot of talking in the locker room?
He can be. And when he does, I think that makes you listen a little bit more. But for the most part, he's a lead by example guy. He goes out there, he works hard in the locker room. If something needs to be said, when we got speed bagged in game three maybe in Ottawa, he spoke up pretty good after the game, and we were able to recover from that and win that series. So he says what needs to be said, but a lot of the time he's quiet and just gets it done on the ice.
Did the message get crossed when he's lead by example? Did the message get crossed a little when he started bouncing PK Subban's head off the ice? Did you guys all think that was what you were supposed to do?
I didn't see that. Did you see that, Dumo?
I think I was out there at the same time, and I mean, I didn't really know what was going on at the time. I think he was just trying to stay free.
Didn't see that tape either.
That's
crazy.
Interesting. So, Dumo, you said that you were at a cookout at Sid's place. How many hot dogs has Phil Kessel eaten?
I didn't see him eat one. I was there eating with him. I saw him. I think he had a couple chicken fingers.
No, he's a shrimp cocktail guy.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of shrimp. He had a lot of shrimp.
He's a big shellfish.
No hot dogs. No hot dogs.
Any good Phil stories from the playoff run this year?
When I hugged him on the ice, the first thing he said to me was, "It's over, we're done." He was just pumped that the year was done. He can go fish. He can go golf. Lives for it. He gets it done. He's 2 for 2. He'll tell you that, and now he's ready for the summer.
I love it. I love it. Dumo, the question we all really wanted to know: you passed Vanny Woodhead on the highway. You saw Vanny Woodhead driving in person. Tell us how life-changing that was for you.
I honestly think that was one of the most remarkable things that I've ever seen. Because when I'm driving to the practice rink, I'm only on the highway for about a mile. That's how close I am. So when I got on the highway and I looked to my right and I saw that it was you guys, I was honestly losing my mind. And then I got to the rink and I was like, I just fucking saw Vanny Woodhead, and I said it that way, and everyone knew what Vanny Woodhead was. It wasn't like I had to explain it or anything like that. Like, everyone knew it was you guys, and like, no fucking way, what are they doing? I kind of
wanted to tell you guys. You came,
like,
you came flying in, so happy.
Yeah, I thought about telling you guys maybe to come over and like try to hang out or something, but I didn't know what you guys were doing. You guys were buzzing through.
I probably would have said no.
Great week,
the
so.
wounds were a little fresh for me at that point.
Yeah.
But we were also traveling at about 35 miles an hour on the highway, so statistically,
you were going so slow.
Yeah.
I didn't believe how slow you were going. I was trying to like slow down and like stay with you guys, but it's only 2-lane road, so I was getting honked at. I was getting beeped at because I was slowing down the other lane trying to like get next to you guys. You guys are going so slow.
I mean, we were going as fast as Vanny's little wings could take us.
Yeah, Vanny doesn't really exactly have top end speed anymore.
No, you guys are riding pretty low.
All right, boys. I'd rather not do this next year again. Congratulations on back-to-back cups, but I think maybe like you know, let everyone else get involved, you know? I actually said I didn't even know that winning back-to-back was possible because the Blackhawks, we don't do that. So,
ooh, here's a good question for you guys. Are you a dynasty?
Yeah. Who's dynasty?
I don't know.
That sounds like the Blackhawks are the dynasty.
That's such a hockey guy answer. Oh, I don't know. You know, we're going to let the other guys decide that for us.
Yeah, we'll share our dynasty.
Put our heads down and we just do our best, okay?
Yeah. We'll let you Big J journalists figure it out. If anyone can, it's you guys.
That's fair.
All right, I'm on the case.
Yeah. All right, thank you, boys. We appreciate you coming on. And tell Phil we say hello. We're going to get Phil on for real because he now follows me, so I'm going to slide in those DMs and be like, hey, Phil, we'll give you a free hot dog if you come on.
You'd love it.
He'd love it.
Thanks, boys.
All right, thanks, guys. Congrats again, and take care of that leg, Nick.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Later. Have fun, guys.
See you guys.
Those interviews were brought to you by Denny's. Denny's has always been a place where America can come and get their favorite breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes, serving our guests whatever they want, whenever they crave it. Now with Denny's On Demand, we've taken that same always-open philosophy that's synonymous with our restaurants and applied it to online ordering, bringing access to our craveable diner fare wherever our guests want it. Thanks to our new platform, guests have a quick and easy way to place a mobile or online order for takeout or delivery of their favorite menu items, all day, every day. If having your favorite Denny's dish available at your fingertips 24/7 isn't enough, we've also partnered with Hulu to give our guests a free 60-day trial of the premium streaming service. For a limited time, users who place an order with Denny's On Demand will receive the complimentary Hulu trial and be able to enjoy their meal while binge-watching thousands of hit shows, premium original content, films, and much more. With Denny's On Demand new online ordering, your diner favorites are at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click Order Online or download the Denny's app.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a Mayweather-Pacquiao update, and it's a big one. So is this happening?
One guy reported that it was a done deal.
It was just a random dude.
But that's more people than reported it yesterday.
True.
So it's 1,000% more, 0-1.
It's the reverse of the arrow, Schrodinger's arrow.
Yeah, Schrodinger's arrow.
It's like if you get one day, then the next day you get two, then the next day you get three, and eventually the whole world has reported that it's going to happen, and it has to happen.
Not unless there's another world out there that has twice as many people, because that way you're only halfway there.
Hank? Following?
Not after the second world shit.
You get this, Hank?
Second world shit.
So I heard somewhere that it was going to be maybe Labor Day weekend, in which case...
Oof.
That would...
What a dick.
That would be a huge dick move.
Yeah.
But it would heavily favor McGregor.
Yes.
Because Irish people hate working and love getting into fights, and you get into a lot of fights when you're not working. So that seems like it's a no-brainer for McGregor.
I'm ready for this fight to either happen or just for one of them to die so we can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be a real shame. Just, I'm not saying I want
everybody,
one of them
to die. What's going to happen first?
The second world blows up the first world.
Or the asteroid. Because if you know anything about Schrodinger's asteroids, an asteroid will never actually hit the Earth. That's why I'm so confident
It'll get right in front of your nose.
It'll get really close.
Yeah.
And you can touch it if you want to.
We have a PR 101 for the U.S. Open rough. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. People are complaining about the rough. This
happens every year with
the
U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open basically every single year just says, we are going to make golf the most miserable sport ever, and the winner is going to shoot like +6. Ha ha, have fun.
Yeah, enjoy it. And then real golf purists. Is that what they're called? They prefer golf purists?
Yeah, it should be hard.
Golf purists.
If you're going to win the U.S. Open, it should be hard.
It's the U.S. Open. Real golf fans will appreciate the bogeys.
Yeah, the green should be at 90 degrees. That's how you should play the sport.
There should be, you should light the rough, you should light the fescue on fire.
Yeah, fescue is a word that I didn't know existed. So
I would actually like to see a green that's surrounded by water, just surrounded by
fescue?
Fire.
Fescue? Mm. Oh, fescue on fire.
Light the fescue on fire.
Yeah, right. On fire fescue.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? Like, it's just bad?
Yeah.
The rough is bad?
And everyone's complaining about it. So Rory came out today and said that it sucked. A bunch of other players have said that it's beyond ridiculous. Yeah.
Never complain about a little rough, right?
Play it as it lies.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah.
I like a little bit of rough.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a little strip.
Show me where to drop the ball.
Yeah, just a nice little arrow.
Yeah. Ooh, there should also be more snakes during golf tournaments.
I agree.
I just wrote that down as a note. More snakes.
I agree. We next up have Stick to Sports. This is for the Warriors, who have declared they're not going to the White House, or they are, it's fake news.
It might be fake news.
And that was Stick to Sports.
It's pretty good chance that the Warriors are going to skip out on this. You know what?
That is a perfect, by the way, like 2016 Twitter argument right there. The Warriors not going to go to the White House. How could you disrespect the president? But also, I love the Warriors because they disrespected the president. And then also, it's fake news.
Also, it's fake news. It's everything rolled into one.
It's all
my favorite
we
argument.
See Russia. Now, Russia, they're actually thinking about going to Putin.
Where Zaza, he's what? He's Turkish?
Yeah, close
so
enough.
So Turkish, they have some relationships with Russia mm-hmm. that aren't so good. I'm just saying, stay woke. But here's the best argument that I've seen, because I actually saw somebody say this today. The Golden State Warriors should stay out of politics and go to the White House.
Yeah.
Also,
I really don't care about this. Is file this under things I don't care about, mm-hmm. whether a team goes to the White House or
but
not.
But Kevin Durant, kind of a front runner.
True.
Probably registered as a Republican on November 10th.
Mm. But he probably is a Hillary guy because she got more votes.
Ooh,
man, people forget Hillary won the general
that's
election.
That's got to make Kevin Durant's head explode. He has no idea who to support.
Do I follow the electoral or do I follow the what's the other word for it?
The general numbers.
The general numbers.
The popular vote.
And that was stick to sports. We have a good visual for Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy has made weight yet again, two times in a row.
So what, he's down
no
to...
No more China food.
Down to 250 pounds now, right?
It's a little stay woke for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy, what's to say Eddie Lacy meets all his goals, gets in shape, and then purposely sucks? So everyone's like, wait, he was better when he was fat.
Yeah. I would love to see that.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you have to be in better shape almost if you're fat because you got more to lug around, right?
Thank you.
So now he's like getting into, he's getting fat as he's getting skinny
right.
and out of shape.
Right.
Cardiovascular endurance is getting worse because he's not doing as much resistance training.
I'm going to miss Eddie Lacy when he retires.
You know what Pete Carroll should do? This is actually a really good solution.
Mm-hmm.
Just have, they're in Seattle. Send Eddie Lacy out to Pike Place Mark and be like, you can eat whatever you catch.
Catch, yeah.
And so it also works on his hands at
yes.
the same time.
Screens.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then we'll have Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson be like underneath the counter because he's so short and you can't see him over mm-hmm. the lineman. Throwing him the fish.
Just hucking salmon. Yeah,
hucking the fish and talking about concussion water mm-hmm. and how the team and future kid.
Yeah.
Last up, before we get to guys on chicks, I forgot to tell you this. We had a for Hank's Celtics. Gordon Hayward has been up to some interesting things. He posted and deleted a picture of his kid in a Shamrock shirt.
His wife did.
His wife did. It always starts with the wife. The mm-hmm. wife always, you know.
Do we know any realtors?
Wife? Yes, his wife in real estate.
If you're a realtor mm-hmm. in Boston, in the Boston area, let us know.
It's wife and it's real estate, and then it's like the one guy who emails you and is like, hey, my uncle's friend lives next to Gordon Hayward, and they've been giving him all the dishes away because they're moving.
They were at a barbecue with him yeah. in the backyard, and yeah. he was giving him his grill.
And they were playing The Town in the background. Weird. And then the other one, Isaiah Thomas, just followed Gordon Hayward on Instagram.
Huh.
Isaiah Thomas realize he's not going to be on the Celtics?
Ooh.
Maybe Isaiah Thomas is going to get traded to wherever Gordon Hayward signs.
Huh. They're creating a new super team of short players.
Yes. They're trying to figure out which page they need to comment on so that they
talk about
get
this.
It figured out.
Okay. We hacked basically all sports with mm-hmm. this Instagram comment thing.
I think we did. Like, seriously, if you're a professional player or if you're a recruiter out there, we just send us a little bit of money because we made you some ducats tonight.
Let's test this out, actually. Tomorrow, let's meet all the award-winning listeners in J.J. Watt's last Instagram post mm-hmm. at high noon. We'll see you there. All right, guys on chicks. As everyone knows, it's our new favorite segment. All of the female listeners comment in asking for some advice on their body.
All the women that want us to mansplain their own bodies to them.
We gaslight.
Finally, this is a place that you can come to get a guy's opinion on a female body.
Turn off the lights in your room right now if you're mm-hmm. listening to this, because the gaslight has been turned on.
That's right.
Smell that?
Get in your tub.
Don't let it match.
Turn the jet on real high.
Yeah.
You guys want me or Bill?
Let's go you. And
we'll have Hank do it. We don't want Billy Football's head to get too big too fast.
Bill, how do you feel about your first appearance on Pardon My Take?
But you're not allowed to answer because we told you.
Just give us a... Oh, he shook. He shook his head.
He
said yes.
Hey, Pardon My Take and Billy Football. Can you tell if a girl is faking an orgasm? Because if it's an overwhelming yes, then I'll just stop doing it.
I have a really easy answer to this.
Who cares?
Yes. Well, that's one school of thought. I was just going to say, yeah, if she's having sex with me, that's a really easy way to tell.
Yeah, or just if you're coming, then Who cares?
Why does it matter?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, girl. Wait, she said, can a guy tell if a girl is faking an orgasm?
Can a guy tell if a girl is faking?
Girls don't have orgasms.
Right, exactly. That's the whole, like, who, I mean.
So that was a guy that wrote that in, that didn't know.
Way to be an overachiever, guy.
Just make sure you follow up after, even though it doesn't matter.
Right. All the most important part of sex is to afterward just say, I'm sorry.
Is it weird if your girlfriend wants to have sex more than you?
She might be trying to get pregnant, bro.
Yeah, man card.
Yeah,
it's also a man card if you're not hornier than your chick.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think human beings probably are all horny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask Bill the scientist. Bill. Nope, he's not. He wasn't ready for that one.
All right. Is it ever a good idea to work out with your significant other?
Sex, right? Sex is a workout.
Yeah.
You burn some calories. I looked up in my phone. Apparently your iPhones keep track of how often you have sex. I didn't know this.
Ooh.
Mine just told me straight up, no data for the last year.
You normally have sex with your pants on?
Sometimes.
What's up with that, Steve Jobs?
What, you don't?
Explain that one, Steve Jobs. The correct answer to this is... no, except I think we've talked about this. You don't want to get in a relationship with like a hardcore runner because then you're going to be getting up at like 6 a.m. on Saturdays. You always see those couples and they're running and they have like matching outfits and one of them looks absolutely miserable. One of them's like, I want to kill myself. That's the one that you're going to end up being. So just steer clear of runners.
For the record, she wrote this. I'm not reading this wrong. Hey, PMT boys, how does peeing know you're pregnant? Luckily, I've never seen the positive sign, but what isn't in my pee that proves I'm not pregnant? Please and thank you.
A baby.
Yeah.
So if you piss out like a small little baby, then it's like, hey, wow, ouch. So you were pregnant.
So she's asking if like what, how do pee tests work for pregnancy?
What inside of piss?
Yeah. So it's the double piss because the baby's peeing too at the same time. So it's double piss.
So it's, they can tell it's speed?
Yeah, they can tell it's double piss.
Well,
so it's
I don't think it's
your piss and a baby's piss all coming out, boom, on the little strip. You're pregnant.
It's what like, if your baby doesn't piss at the same time?
No, your baby always pisses at the same time.
It's always leaking. Yeah.
So like the baby's constantly leaking.
You ever hear a mom say like, "Oh, the baby eats when I eat because she eats."
Or
the
like, "Oh, my water
goes
broke.
Down there." Yeah.
Yeah, that's leaking.
Yeah, we're pregnant. That's why she says we're pregnant because the baby's pregnant too.
That's why when you eat too much as a guy and you get like a little gas, it's the same thing as being pregnant.
So it's just measuring the velocity. It's like how two rivers join together to form the Mississippi. They're called tributaries. Your baby's dick is just a tributary.
Yeah. Or vagina.
Does pee come out of a vagina?
Ooh. Now we're in a pickle.
See, this is a question. That's kind of a trick question.
Fuck.
Hank, because I for one, believe that was it Stephen A. Smith?
Mm-hmm.
I think we said he did this too. But women, they pee like birds where they poop and pee at the same time. It's all the same load.
Yeah.
And it comes out of the butt.
Yes. And it's just like a white mixy whatever liquid.
Huh. My dad just recently remarried. Me and my new stepbrother are both home from college for the summer. The first week back, I accidentally walked in on him as he had just gotten out of the shower. In my surprise, I looked at his junk and said, "Wow," before closing the door. Is it a sin that I kind of want to hook up with them? And if not, what do I do?
This just got kinky.
Wait, run that back for me. Who was the guy again?
My dad just recently
remarried. Me and my new stepbrother are both home from. So it's basically
saw the stepbrother.
Yeah. It's stepbrothers, but with a girl.
She likes what the young buck has going around there.
Yeah. That's definitely a sin. But are sins necessarily?
I don't know if it is.
But wait. Are sins necessarily bad?
True.
Jesus was the only person that sinned. That's a bad example.
Yeah, you caught yourself there.
But every other person has sinned, and you can't differentiate from sin. So, like, murdering somebody in the eyes of God is no different than hooking up with your brother.
But that's not really a sin, is it? They're not blood related. It's like kind of you're getting penalized because your dad, you know, hooked up with some other chick.
That had a hot son.
Son.
Yeah.
If anything, it's like...
it's your dad's fault.
Yeah. Yeah,
same mindset.
Being in this situation, your dad is a major cock block.
Right, and your dad gave you the DNA to be attracted to that DNA.
Right.
So it really is your dad's fault.
Like father, like daughter.
Yeah, just like they say.
So it's a yes.
Yeah, I'd say go for it.
I'd say, yeah.
We just ruined a family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go for it.
I saw Clueless. That was the same thing, right?
Exactly.
So there
people
you go.
Don't talk about
Paul
the
Rudd. Yeah. Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone, who was like 15.
Paul Rudd hooked up with his stepsister, his underage stepsister.
Yeah.
And that was a blockbuster.
It was a great romantic comedy.
This question, hey, sub PMT boys, this question's for PFT. How would you feel if you took a girl to B-dubs and she ate more wings than you?
I'd be fine with that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just like, yeah. That, as a matter of fact, I lost an eating contest to a girl one time. It was one of the more erotic experiences
Man
of my
card.
Life.
Okay.
Mm.
And what about if she did that thing where you ever seen someone eat a wing where they just don't even like tear it apart? They just, they suck it? They suck
just,
the bone
well,
out?
It's like, basically, it's like tying a cherry stem with your tongue.
Yeah.
If they just stick it in, they pull it out clean.
When you nut, she keeps sucking.
Uh-huh. Now, if you order a boneless wing in front of me, then I'm going to have to make some jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. You like a bone in your mouth.
I like bone in. I like women that like their bones in.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Does the phrase, if you fucked her once, then you can fuck her twice, apply to dudes, or is there a statute of limitations? I hooked up with a guy very early into our friendship, and it's been 2 years without anything happening. But now I'm down again, and I don't know if he would be.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Basically, if you're a girl and you have sex with a guy, at any point for the rest of your life, you can, if you're in the same room as him, you can be like, you want to fuck, and he will want to fuck you.
That guy, your friend, has been thinking about the sex with you ever since you had sex 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
I'm just wondering what's happened in those 2 years where you haven't tried to capitalize on this again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is this a rebound situation?
Yes.
By the way, it doesn't matter. If a guy knows that he's being used as a rebound, we mm-hmm. don't care.
Right. Correct.
All right. I'm going to let Big Bill hit up the last one.
Okay.
No pressure.
Hey, PMT. How do I get my guy to manscape without offending him?
Well, it's summertime, which I actually think is the best time of year to let it grow.
Yeah. I would just do foreplay with scissors.
Ooh. Or just like start flossing with as you're just.
Yeah.
Just make a big deal out of picking pubes out of your teeth. Yeah. That'll usually get the point across.
Oh, good call. But the scissors, kind of kinky. Mm-hmm. Like,
can I do it for you?
Yeah.
Make it a fun Edward game
scissors.
You guys play.
Ooh,
together.
Watch Edward Scissorhands. Is
that
it, Bill?
That's it.
You killed it, Bill. All right, that is our show. Like we said, Friday, we are starting Mount Rushmore season. Thursday, listen to us. We're going to be in Bristol all day on the Ryan Russillo show, so you can watch us on ESPN2?
ESPNU, something like that?
Yes, one of the ESPNs.
One of the many ESPNs that's right next to each other on your cable provider.
And we will be there on radio from 1 to 4, and we are then going to, on Friday, we're going to have the Mount Rushmore of recurring guests, and each one of those recurring guests are going to do a Mount Rushmore. So we're not going to tell you who it is yet. You're going to have to guess. But it's going to be an awesome show.
It's going to be very heavy on Mount Rushmores on Friday.
Yes.
I think you'll like it.
We'll see you Friday.
Love you guys.